just about 9 o'clock. So thank you all for coming very much to this session, 9 a.m. on the last day of the conference. I appreciate you being here. I hope you get a lot out of this session. My name is Ricardo Muti. I'm a program manager on the SQL Server Reporting Services team back at Microsoft headquarters in Redmond, which is near Seattle. So I work on reporting services. I've been working on that team for about 2.5 years. My focus is mostly on the engine of reporting services, the processing and rendering engine that actually processes reports and, you know, processes data and renders reports to different formats. But I have done my share of dealing with issues related to the report server as well, and the server side of things, and server configuration, and SharePoint integration. So hopefully this session will be educational. What we're going to cover today is we're going to look at the why and the how, I guess I would call it, of reporting services in SharePoint integrated mode. So first, we're going to tackle the why. Why should you look at reporting services in SharePoint integrated mode versus, for example, native mode, which is not integrated with SharePoint? So we're going to talk about exactly what is the functionality when we talk about reporting services being integrated into SharePoint, integrated in what way, in what sense, what parts of it are integrated, and what parts maybe are not integrated. We're going to talk about the benefits of choosing SharePoint integrated mode for reporting services versus native mode. And are there any limitations? There may be some to call out as well there. Then we switch over to the how. How does this actually work? How does reporting services integrate? So we'll talk about the architecture and, you know, what exactly are the pieces that are being deployed and where do they go and what versions are we talking about. And then I'm actually going to show you how you can get it up and running. I'm going to configure two environments, one with SharePoint 2010 and one with SharePoint 2013. So it will be a pretty demo-heavy session in the latter half of the session where I'll actually be going in and setting up reporting services in SharePoint. So needless to say, you're going to see me configure software, which is going to be incredibly exhilarating for you. So if anybody has a heart condition or anything, you know, this might be too much for you guys to handle. You'll probably remember this day for the rest of your lives. So what functionality is integrated? When we talk about reporting services being integrated into SharePoint, what does that mean? So when most of our competitors talk about them having SharePoint integration, you know, for example, if, you know, you go to Cognos and say, do you guys have SharePoint integration? Yes, of course, we have SharePoint integration. Oracle, you know, do you have SharePoint integration? Yes, we have. You can put your Oracle report in a web part. We have SharePoint integration. That's just one piece of it, right? It's visual level, UI level integration. You can take your report, and somehow within a SharePoint page, you can view it or you can view a piece of it. So we have that. You know, we've had that for quite some time. Even before we really had a SharePoint integrated mode, we had web parts for SharePoint, and you could render your reports in the web parts. But there's more to it than that. So in SQL Server 2005 Service Pack 2, I believe, we introduced what we first called SharePoint integrated mode. And what that adds is something that most of our competitors don't have, which is the actual catalog of your BI artifacts, in this case your reports and your data sources and all those sorts of things, actually go into the catalog for those is SharePoint. They become documents like any other SharePoint document, and you can manage them the way you manage any other SharePoint document. So they live in a hierarchy of sites, site collections, sites, libraries, folders in SharePoint. So the other benefit of that is that the way you manage security and permissions on those is, again, the same way you would manage security and permissions on any other document. You could use SharePoint permissions to grant people access to reports or to data sources. If you contrast that with, say, native mode or with some of our competitors, you can have visual level integration into SharePoint. Your report shows up in SharePoint, but if you want to manage these reports, you want to publish them, you want to manage settings on them, you want to manage permissions to them, you go to some other portal. Maybe it's Report Manager, or it's your Cognos portal, or your Oracle portal, or whatever. So this is the benefit of having this other aspect integrated into SharePoint. We're still doing everything in one portal. The third piece of that is management. So in SQL Server 2012, we took it to the next level, and now we have true end-to-end SharePoint integration, where you're literally doing everything in SharePoint. So what I mean by management is, let's say you want to back up your report server catalog, your report server database, or you want to do scale-out. The way you do that is the same way you do it for any other SharePoint service application. Excel services, Power Pivot, Performance Point services, Secure Store, any way you back up these things, you back it up in a consistent way for SharePoint service applications. If you want to do scale-out, SharePoint's got a built-in load balancer for the app server tier. So you do it in a standard SharePoint way, rather than having to go to some other administration portal or management portal, which you used to have to do. And you'll actually see that difference when we compare two different versions of SQL Server that we're going to look at today. So why should you use SharePoint integrated mode as opposed to using native mode? So one thing is what I just sort of explained, which is it keeps everything in one portal. You know, Microsoft has one portal, and that's SharePoint. Your users would prefer to have, and your IT would prefer to have one portal where they go and they do everything. Ideally, that should be SharePoint, rather than having to go to a bunch of different things to do day-to-day tasks or to do administrative tasks. The other benefit of that is that you get everything looks like one user experience, and everything has one look and feel. Especially if you've gone to the effort of branding your SharePoint portal, this is going to inherit that look and feel and fit in nicely with that, rather than saying, you know, if I'm using Report Manager, when you switch over to Report Manager, oh, how do we skin that now and brand that now, and how close can we make it look? The other benefit is multi-site sort of environments. So let's say, you know, you want to have a site and you want to have isolation among different, you know, sub-companies or different departments, and, you know, have some level of isolation of their different reports. Or you want to have, you know, you're a hosting provider and you provide SharePoint sites to different clients. You want to have some level of isolation among those catalogs of reports. The way that that works with reporting services in SharePoint integrated mode is, like I said, I mean, the whole thing is one catalog, but it's divided, mirroring the SharePoint catalog. So you have the same hierarchy of site collections, sites, and libraries in those sites. And so there's some level of isolation there. You've got the SharePoint multi-tenant capabilities. You've got the ability to create multiple service applications. You could have, for example, one site configured that is configured for Windows authentication inside the enterprise, another one for forms for the extranet, and they use different reporting services applications, perhaps. So you have all those capabilities of SharePoint. You've also got all the other features of SharePoint related to SharePoint documents. So let's say when somebody publishes a report, you want to kick off some sort of a workflow. It's just publishing a document to a document library, so there's nothing preventing them from doing that. Security is another big one. Like I said, the way you manage security is now consistent the way that you manage security for any SharePoint document. Manageability. So this one I put a little star beside it because this is something that's new in 2012. The manageability, doing backup, doing scale-out, is done the same way you do it for any other service application, and it's done within SharePoint. There's no more reporting services, you know, configuration tool that you have to go to. Everything's in central admin. Finally, there are features that are only available in SharePoint mode. So data alerts is a nice cool feature in SQL Server 2012 where you can actually say, some of you might be familiar with the subscriptions feature of reporting services, so you can say, run this report on a schedule and then deliver it to these people via email. You know, that will fire every day or every week or something like that and always deliver that report to the user. This is more event-driven reporting. So you can say, for example, a user goes to a report and says, this particular value in the matrix, when this goes below a certain threshold or when this goes above a certain threshold, send me an alert with that specific value that changed, that triggered the alert. So that's only available in reporting services in SharePoint integrated mode. It's not available in native mode. And then the huge one is PowerView. You've probably heard a ton about PowerView, especially now that it's integrated into Excel and Excel web app in this release. That's only available in reporting services in SharePoint integrated mode right now. It's not available in native mode. So that, you know, you might say to yourself, well, maybe I'm just not going to use PowerView right now. The thing is, it's now built into Excel. As soon as your users upgrade to Excel 2013, they're going to have PowerView in there. It's not in every SKU, but for example, if they have Office Pro Plus, they're going to have PowerView. They're going to want to use it. And then if you have SharePoint, they're going to want to take those workbooks and publish them up to SharePoint, and they're going to expect them to work there too. That relies on having reporting services 2012 in SharePoint integrated mode. So for that reason alone, even to ignore all the other ones, you know, that's a huge reason to use reporting services in SharePoint mode. There are some limitations, but as you can see, they're far outweighed by the benefits, and they're pretty minor. Some people like to use linked reports, so you can have a report that is not really a master report, but it is a variation of another report. It's linked to a master report. And what it overrides are some of the properties. So it could override the default parameter values, or it could override the caching settings, for example. Depending on your scenario, you may have a workaround. If your scenario is that you want to have different default parameters, you could create in SharePoint a link, or there's a content type in SharePoint called a link to a document. And you can have that as sort of your pseudo linked report. And you can put in that URL, URL parameters. So it'll run the other report with different parameter values. If you want to do things that are more complex, like you wanted to override the caching settings, that functionality is unfortunately not available in SharePoint mode. There's a feature in Reporting Services Native Mode called My Subscriptions, where you can see all of your subscriptions in one place. Instead of looking at the reports and seeing who's, you know, what subscriptions exist on those reports, a particular user can go and see all the subscriptions that they created or that they own. That feature is not available in SharePoint mode. But just to make sure it's clear, subscriptions themselves and data-driven subscriptions and all these features are available in SharePoint mode. It's just this one portal page doesn't really translate to SharePoint mode. Finally, custom security extensions. So security extension overrides or customizes the way that the user actually authenticates to the report server and authenticates to reports. So native mode comes built in with Windows authentication. If you wanted to do something like forms or you wanted to do something like some other type of authentication method, you can implement a custom extension and then integrate that into native mode. You can't do that with SharePoint mode. Well, having said that, what we support with SharePoint mode are the most common SharePoint authentication methods. So we support Windows authentication in SharePoint mode. We also support Forms authentication in SharePoint mode. So moving on to the how exactly does all this stuff work? What I want to do now is take a moment to illustrate what the architecture looks like of how Reporting Services actually integrates. And I'm going to contrast it because we made a pretty major change in SQL Server 2012 that I alluded to, so you'll see the difference here. Starting with SQL Server 2008 R2, if you think about it, you've got a client, you've got some sort of client machine, and the user is using some sort of application or tool or control or something that's running on the client. So for example, let's say they're using the report viewer control. It may be the report viewer web control that's running AJAX code on the client in the browser. It could be the report viewer web Windows Forms control in a Windows Forms application. They could be using report builder in connected mode. There's something running on the client that's got to go render a report. That connects to your SharePoint web server, your SharePoint web front end. And it hits something in the SharePoint web server called the SQL Server Reporting Services add-in for SharePoint products. This is what you install in your SharePoint web server tier, the Reporting Services add-in. Now, this is something that you can install from SQL Server setup. But it's also a free component. You can go down to the web and you can download this Reporting Services add-in. You can install it on all your web servers. It's not something that you need to pay SQL licensing for. In fact, in SharePoint Server 2010, this is actually installed by the SharePoint prereq installer. The reason being that Access Services depends on this add-in. It runs Access Services reports using this add-in in a sort of local mode where it's not connected to any back-end report server. It just runs right on the web front end. It's a very limited mode, but for Access Services purposes, it's enough. But this is the same component that you need. So it'll for the 2008 R2 version, it'll already be there as part of the prereq installer. If you're using 2012, you would install this from setup or from the web, and it would upgrade it to the new version. So, but there's your add-in sitting in the web front end. When you're running reports, that goes and calls into and delegates most of the actual work of rendering the report to the Reporting Services engine, which runs in a Windows service. This is a Windows service that runs outside of really the SharePoint farm, in the sense that it is not a SharePoint service application. It's a separate Windows service. And that's why there are separate configuration tools if you need to manage this thing. Now that is actual, you know, the sort of the guts of Reporting Services. You do need a SQL Server license for that component. And then the Reporting Services service will go and connect to your different data sources. So it connects to your, you know, SQL Server database. It could connect to SQL Analysis Services. It could connect to non-Microsoft data sources, like an Oracle database. Whatever the report connects to. And those could be on yet another server. So one other thing to point out here is you could see that there are multiple tiers here. There are different hops. Because whenever you go and you want to delegate the user's identity over a second hop, there's one hop from the client machine to the web server. If that user's identity to authenticate to the report server or to the data source needs to go over a second hop, you need Kerberos. So in a lot of scenarios, you will need to configure Kerberos for this to work. Otherwise, you will not get the ability to authenticate all the way to the data source with the user's identity. You'll have to use stored credentials. So let's take a look at how it's different in 2010, 2012. So you still have the client machine. You have some things running on the client. You've got maybe your report viewer control. But as a lot of you will have seen, you could also have PowerView, for example. PowerView running in, say, Excel web app. Those connect to the add-in. The add-in is still around, still a free component. There is a 2012 version now. And you install that on your web server like you used to. Here's where the difference comes in. You no longer have that Windows service. The other component, the backend component, is the SQL Reporting Services SharePoint mode service application. It's installed as a service application, like any service application, in the SharePoint server, SharePoint app server tier. You don't have to install it on every app server. You can install it on as many as you want, basically up to how much scale do you need and how many service applications do you need. And then that still goes and connects to all the different data sources, you know, SQL database, SQLIS, Oracle database, same sort of thing. There's a little bit less of a requirement for Kerberos because within the SharePoint farm, you do not need Kerberos. So to delegate the user's identity from the web server to the app server, it's all claims authentication inside. You don't need Kerberos. However, to go to another machine, if your data source is on another machine outside of the SharePoint farm, once again, you have a double hop and you need Kerberos. One special case to point out is PowerView in Excel services. So PowerView, if you want to open a workbook in the browser, and that's got some PowerView sheets in it. How does that all work? Because obviously there's the Excel services side of it and there's the reporting services side of it. Here's how it works. So you have the same four tiers. In the browser, the user opens up a workbook and they open up Excel web app. That goes and connects to Excel services web front-end components, which are some web services that it communicates with. That delegates a lot of the actual number crunching work to Excel calculation services, or ECS, which sits on the app server. That's a service application as well. You'll see a lot of the parallels here. And then, depending on what you're connecting to, Excel calculation services will talk to certain data sources. So if you're connecting to the embedded model inside that workbook, what happens is Excel calculation services streams that model to an instance of analysis services that's configured specifically in this mode to support Excel services and to support workbooks. So it streams that model into an analysis services database. You could also be connecting to external models. So these are just, you know, traditional proper AS databases in tabular mode or even in multidimensional mode. And then there's PowerView. So what happens when you open up a PowerView sheet? What does that communicate with? It's very similar to the previous slide. PowerView connects to the reporting services add-in. The reporting services add-in connects to the SQL RS engine, the service application, and ADOMD, which is what we connect through, is actually what is doing the work of figuring out where is this data source? Is it a workbook? Is it a database? So for example, if it's a workbook, it'll start talking to Excel calculation services and say, does this user have permissions for this workbook? Where can I find a database for this workbook? And eventually go and connect to the database. This is very opaque to RS. RS doesn't really know what it's connecting to. Just connects to the connection string via ADOMD, but that's what happens behind the scenes. And if we're connecting to an external data source, ADOMD would just go and connect to that data source. So that's sort of how the end-to-end works. Again, the important thing here is that for this scenario, this entire scenario to work, what you're licensing here is you're licensing SharePoint, and that includes Excel services in the enterprise edition. And you will also need SQL Server licenses for the reporting services service application. And you'll need SQL Server 2012 SP1 BI edition or higher. So there are three editions, standard edition, BI edition, and enterprise edition. PowerView is not supported in standard edition, so you will need BI edition or enterprise edition. To actually go and set this up, we're going to take a look at a couple demo environments, if my clicker will work. There we go. The first one is the previous release wave. So you've got Windows Server 2008 R2. I've installed SharePoint 2010 on there, and then I've installed a SQL Server 2008 R2. The starting point for both of these configurations, including this one, is I've installed the bits for all these things. I have configured SharePoint, so I have a sort of blank site collection up and running. We're not going to go through the process of setting up SharePoint because it's not really the focus of this session. It's SharePoint is up and running. I've installed the reporting services bits, but that's all I've done. I've just installed the bits, and I have not configured anything for reporting services. So that's our starting point. We're going to configure reporting services and get that up and running. My second environment is the current release wave, Windows Server 2012, SharePoint 2013. I've installed SharePoint 2013 Enterprise so that I can get the Excel services and PowerView capabilities. And then I've installed SQL Server 2012 SP1 Again, I've installed the reporting services bits, but I haven't configured them. So that's where we'll pick up. You can seek out the materials for how to actually set up a SharePoint farm and set up a SharePoint site collection. If you're starting from scratch, one, and you know you want a BI-capable environment, you want the full BI stack, one really easy way of doing this is by setting up PowerPivot. PowerPivot, when you run SQL Server Setup, so after installing the SharePoint bits, you can actually run SQL Server Setup, choose PowerPivot for SharePoint, and then it will run this PowerPivot configuration tool, and it's got all these steps, it's sort of a checklist that it will walk through, and it'll analyze the state of your SharePoint farm and your SharePoint site, and it'll do everything from creating the SharePoint site collection, creating the SharePoint web applications, installing all the necessary services, and at the end of it, you've got an up and running SharePoint site with PowerPivot capabilities. So that's one really easy way to get your site up and running. Sure. So you're referring to this checkbox where it says add SQL Server database relational engine? Yeah, so all that does is it says, do you want an additional instance of the SQL Server relational database engine? I've unchecked that because I had already installed that before I installed SharePoint, but if I hadn't done that yet, then I would check that box and say, sure, give me an instance of SQL relational as well. That could host my SharePoint configuration databases and the content databases. So it's just, do you have that relational instance yet or not? Yes, exactly. So if I had not created a farm at all, I just installed the SharePoint bits, this will create the farm for me if necessary, if I choose, create the site collection for me, create the site. If I had already done all that stuff, which is actually what I did in my case, it wouldn't do that. All it would do is install the additional PowerPivot service and PowerPivot features. So that's the configuration tool. And then we get into actually installing reporting services. So for 2008 R2, we'll run SQL Server Setup, and after we've installed SharePoint and we've installed PowerPivot or whatever else it is we want to install, we run SQL Server Setup to install reporting services. And there's just one checkbox for reporting services, and that's all I check. There's only the one component. Now remember, the add-in is already built into SharePoint as a prerequisite. And then it'll take me eventually later to this page, which says, do you want to install native mode or do you want to install SharePoint mode? Or do you just want to install the bits and not decide right now or not configure anything right now and decide later? What you want to do is make sure you install either SharePoint mode or you install just the bits. Don't install native mode, obviously. The reason why the checkbox, the other two options are disabled in my case, is because if you run through setup and you don't install the database engine at the same time, those two options are not available to you. So, but it's fine. This is actually what I want anyways. Just install the bits for now. And then we'll go and run the configuration tool to actually configure everything. For SQL Server 2012, it's a little bit different because of the architecture differences. You'll see that reporting services is not an instance feature anymore. It's a shared feature. And there are two components that are in setup. One is the core of reporting services in SharePoint mode. The other is the reporting services add-in. So I'm installing everything on one box. I have my web server and my app server on the same box. But if I add them on different boxes, I would install the add-in on the web front end, and I would install core reporting services on the app server. And then there's a similar looking page where we have this option of, do you want to install native mode or SharePoint mode? In this case, I choose to install SharePoint mode, and your only option is to install the bits because the actual configuration is done in SharePoint itself later. So we'll see what that looks like. So at this point, I wanted to move on to a demo. Are there any quick questions before I do that? Yep. So the question was, does reporting services work in claims or classic mode in SharePoint? Right. Yeah, classic mode authentication or claims mode. It works in both. So in 2010, I believe classic mode was the default, but it also worked in claims. Now claims mode is actually the default, and it works in claims as well. It still does work in classic mode. Yeah. Any other quick questions? Yes, sir? Does reporting services 2012 work in SharePoint 2010? Yes, it does. Yeah. So all of the features except for the Excel workbook integration are available in 2010. The Excel workbook integration for Excel 2013 workbooks depends on SharePoint 2013. Yeah, one more question. Ah, good question. So does the demo environment require a domain controller? Yes, in both of my VMs, I basically have two VMs for the two environments, I have a domain controller on each VM. Now, in a real-world environment, your domain controller would probably be a different machine, but you do want to have a domain controller and have your SharePoint farm on a domain, and you do want to use domain accounts for some of the service accounts. Yeah, it's not a recommended practice to have the domain controller, you know, be everything. I have all the services on there as well, but for a demo environment, I've got everything on one machine and it works just fine. Yeah. Okay, oops. So let me switch over here. Okay, so first we're gonna start with setting up SQL Server Reporting Services 2008 R2 for SharePoint Server 2010. So remember, I've installed the bits, and now we've got to go and configure it. So whatever setup didn't do, that's where we're picking up. So I'm logged into my machine here. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to run the Reporting Services Configuration Manager. So I go into the Start menu. I go into SQL Server 2008 R2, Configuration Tools. And in there, you'll see there is a Reporting Services Configuration Manager. That's what you use to set up and configure reporting services. So let me run that. And this should come up in just a moment. There we go. So I'm going to connect to my report server. And this is showing me the current state of the farm, or the current state of reporting services, I should say. You can see that the report service, the Windows service, is running. But there's no database configured. There's no mode that's been chosen yet, native mode or SharePoint mode, because we haven't configured anything yet. So the first step is to configure the service account. This is actually something that it prompts me for in SQL Server Setup to choose a service account, so that's already filled in. Like I said, you want to use a domain account for that. Do not use a local machine account. The next thing is, on the web front end, part of the add-in is the report server web service. This is actually what those client components communicate with to render reports. I'm just going to leave it at the default virtual directory name, which is report server. But I'm going to change the port. I'm going to change the port from 80 to 81. And the reason is I'm installing this on the SharePoint box. SharePoint has a web application on port 80. I don't want a port conflict. I could use host headers or something to get around that, but it's easier to just put it on a different port. So I'll put this stuff on port 81, and then I'll click apply. Now what it's going to do is it's going to reserve that port. The Windows service actually runs a little web server inside. It runs http.sys web server inside the Windows service and reserves certain ports and certain URLs. So it actually doesn't depend on IIS. It runs its own web server. So here it's made that URL reservation. The next step is to actually create the report server databases. There's a catalog database, and there's a temporary database that's used for temporary report execution data. So here I can say, change database, and it'll start this wizard. And I want to create a new report server database. If I were doing a migration or something, I could attach a report server database that was previously backed up. But I'm going to create a new one. It's going to be on this machine. To actually connect to it at this point, I will use just integrated security. I'll go to the next step. The database name will be report server. That's fine. This is what's really critical. It's asking me to choose the mode. The schema of the database is slightly different for native mode and SharePoint mode. I need the one that's SharePoint mode. And it's really critical because if you get it wrong, you can't change it. You can't change the mode of a report server database after you've created it. There is a reporting services migration tool that we recently released. It's sort of a beta tool that will allow you to migrate your reports from a native mode environment to a SharePoint environment, but you cannot change the mode of an existing report server. So, chosen SharePoint integrated mode. I'll click Next. The authentication to the database, again, we'll use just the service account. And finally, I'll click Next. And this is going to go and run various scripts to go and create the database. Shouldn't take very long. Right now, it's running that script to create the database. And it should move on to additional steps. There we go. So now it's running that script that it's just generated. And now it's setting some user permissions and logins and setting up the security for the database. Now it's creating a data source name for ODBC, and then it's done. So we've got our database. So far, so good. The next step is actually the last one that we're going to need. It's to choose the URL for Report Manager. Report Manager is a portal in native mode where you go and view reports and manage reports. I'm just going to leave this at the default and click Apply. And that's going to go and reserve that URL in that web server that the Windows service is hosting. And this should take just a moment. Okay, that worked. So the other steps are things that you might need to configure. For example, email settings if you need subscriptions, or you want to do, take your encryption key and back that up, and things that you would have done in native mode, same thing. I don't need to do that right now for the purposes of this demo. What I want to do, though, is I want to test these URLs. So I reserve this report URL, report server web service URL on port 81. So I can click that and test that in a browser. So this just should take a second to come up. First time we're hitting it, it's going to take a little while. Any other questions while we're waiting? Yes. So there are two different web servers we're talking about here, right? The SharePoint is using IIS, right? And there is an actual proper web server on the web front end. That's what the clients are communicating with. However, that in turn, in this version, communicates with the report server also through a web server's endpoint. So the report server needs to hook into some web server. It doesn't hook into IIS in the previous release. It hooks into its own web server that it's running.
You're saying it's not a SharePoint.
It could be physically on a SharePoint server. Typically it is. Yeah.
I'm just reading here again. In connected mode, it has to have SharePoint web server. So I'm just confused. The Microsoft document online is not.
Yeah, so to clarify, this would typically be on a SharePoint web front end. However, it's not using IIS. So I'm referring to the web server application, the web server host. Not so much the actual physical web server. Yeah. Another quick question.
My experience has been that you typically have your web front end service, your app server, and then you put this on the, you put reporting services onto the application server, because you might have load balanced web front end, so you put this on the application server. And if you're using Kerberos, then you'd use a host header and DNSA records. So in your case, then you
Yes.
Is that correct?
So from what I've seen, this is often installed on the web front end precisely because of the Kerberos issue. So that way you don't have an additional hop between the web front end and the backend report server. Now, that is a little bit weird of a weird configuration, as you pointed out, because typically you think of this as an app, a service, and that would be running on the app server. However, that's something that we've addressed in the current release, where it's actually a proper service app. In this case, it's not really a SharePoint service, and so people will alternately put it on a web front end or the app server, depending on the end-to-end configuration and Kerberos requirements and all that. So it looks like we got an error. That's not good. I don't know what to do now. I'm just kind of messing with you guys, so this is expected. Yeah, so it's expected that I would get this error at this point, and it's very counterintuitive, but if I did not get this error, then I would have done something wrong. It means I probably configured the thing in native mode, or maybe I used a local system account or something like that, and in some cases you'll see it work in that case, but it won't work later, so it has to be a domain account. So I've done everything right because I'm getting an error. So it's actually a decent error, though. So the error says, if the report server is configured to use SharePoint integrated mode, which it is, verify that the server is joined to a SharePoint farm, which I haven't done yet. Now, if I go to the other URL I want to test, remember the second of the two URLs is report manager. This will fail with a similar error. There we go. It's encountered a configuration error. Okay. So we now need to hook this up to the SharePoint farm. So here's how I do that. And it's pretty much the same in SharePoint 2010 or 2013. So here, I go to General Application Settings in SharePoint Central Admin. And there is a section there for reporting services. And I'll click on Reporting Services Integration. And here I will put in the report server URL. So that was HTTP, my machine name. And by the way, a little bit of trivia. You notice in my machine name I have the word KJ. If anybody can tell me what KJ stands for, I'll be very impressed. Anybody? Nobody? So KJ is sort of an abbreviation for Kilimanjaro, which is the code name for SQL Server 2008 R2. So if a Microsoft person ever slips up and says, what version are you guys running, KJ? And you won't have to look at them like they have three heads. Authentication mode. So this, again, is very important. I can choose this trusted account mode. What happens there is if I choose that mode, the report server, the SharePoint web front end, which is running in a certain app pool in IIS and running with a certain identity, it will use that identity to connect to the report server. That means that the end user's identity is not flown to the report server, which means that you can't use their identity to connect to a backend data source. So integrated auth for data sources will not be supported. So the recommendation is to use Windows authentication. Again, the only caveat is you're going to need to set up Kerberos for that to work in all cases. Here, these credentials that I'm entering are just credentials that are going to be used to actually communicate to the server for the moment for configuration purposes. So I will type in my domain. Is there a question? Do I need to enter the port? Oh, yeah. Good catch. Thanks. That's not even the right URL. So 81/report server. So I'm going to put in my credentials here. And then the last option is, do I want to actually activate the feature? The feature, you know, in SharePoint terminology is going to be the actual UI entry points into reporting services. Do I want to light that up on my existing site collection? I do, so I'll leave the default option, and I'll click OK. This should take just a second. So in a moment, I'll get the results, and hopefully I'll see all green lights that this worked. So what it's doing now is the SharePoint web front end is communicating with that report server web service endpoint that we created. And it's registering an association between the SharePoint web front end and that report server. SQL clustering, that's a good question. So you can, you know, by all means, use SQL clustering for the relational databases. There's not really a concept of clustering for reporting services. You do have a scale-out for reporting services in Enterprise Edition, but it's not quite the same failover clustering technology. Yeah. So everything worked. So now we can go back and try these URLs again. One of them is going to work, and the other one is still going to fail. How many people think that this one, the report service server web service endpoint, is going to work? Okay, less than half the people. How many think Report Manager is going to start working? A few more people. Okay, let's see which one it is. So this is Report Server. Should take just a minute. Running all this stuff on one VM, so sometimes these are really quick and sometimes they take a minute. Okay, so Report Manager got an error. The reason why that is, does anybody know why that is? Why does Report Manager still not work? Configured everything. Right, because it's not supported in SharePoint mode. In SharePoint mode, your catalog, like I said, is just SharePoint itself. The way you access reports is in a SharePoint document library. The way you manage them is from those document libraries. You don't use Report Manager at all. It's just not a tool you use in SharePoint mode. The report server didn't give us an error anymore. It starts working. And this, if you just hit the root of this web service, it just gives you basically a directory browsing experience of your catalog. But you can see here that the catalog is actually mirroring the SharePoint catalog. So I have things like shared documents in here, right? So that's just my SharePoint catalog. So now I can actually go to my site. So let's go to the root of my site here. Yes, absolutely. So if there's security applied to, you know, for example, a user can't look at this SharePoint site or a user can't access this SharePoint library, or even down to item level permissions, they can't see this report, they won't see it in the directory browsing experience anyways, either. So I'll give my SharePoint site a moment to come up here. Any other questions? Yes, over there. Does running in integrated mode make the web front end any slower? It is a little bit of additional load on the server that it's running on. So, yes, take that into account when you plan your capacity. So I'm not sure why it's taking being a little bit sluggish here. It should come up. I'm just hitting SharePoint at this point, so I'm not rendering any reports or anything. So my SharePoint site just seems to be taking a bit to come up. Right, so where's the load when you're running the report? I mean, there's two aspects to the load. One is it's hitting data sources and querying those, so it's putting load on those. Those will typically be on some other server, right? It's putting load on analysis services, for example. So those should not be in your SharePoint farm, or they should not be, you know, competing with SharePoint processing. Then there's actually the reporting services engine load. That's running wherever you have the reporting services Windows service installed. Could be on a web front end, could be on an app server, depending on how you've deployed it. In SharePoint Server 2012, or in SQL Server 2012, it's always running as a service app on an app server. So here. It depends how you actually write the report. Oh, yeah, to the extent that, for example, you can do filtering in the report, or you could do filtering in the query. So you can kind of shift the load around, you know, where is that happening? Yeah. So here I have my site, and it's just a regular document library. And what I want to do is I want to create a report here to make sure that everything is up and running. What you can see here is that in the new documents menu here, I don't have any options to create specific types of documents. The reason is there aren't any content types configured for this library. So what I'm going to do is go to library settings. And SharePoint doesn't enable you choosing the content types by default, so I need to go into advanced settings. And then I need to say the first option is allow management of content types, and it's set to no. So I'll change it to yes. I'll click OK. And now it's got this new content type section that you'll see here. So these are the content types that are configured for the library. I'm going to add some. So I'm going to add from site content types, and I'm going to add you'll see report builder report and report builder data source. So I'm going to add those two. The reason I'm not going to add report builder model is because that is a deprecated technology. You may have heard all about the business intelligence semantic model that's introduced in 2012. That's what we recommend people build new solutions on, so that's why I'm not going to add that content type. I'll go back to shared documents, and now in my new document menu, I should have those two options. So there we go. Now I can create a new report builder report. So I'm going to click Report Builder Report. Now what's going to happen is it's actually going to check for the presence of Report Builder on my machine, and it's going to install Report Builder. So you can install Report Builder, you can download it off the web, and you can install it as a standalone application, but it's also available as a ClickOnce application from the report server. So when you install the report server and people go and they launch from SharePoint like this, the ClickOnce technology checks, is this application installed on my client machine? Is it up to date? And it will make sure that I have the latest version installed. That's what it's doing now. It's downloading that. And then it will install it on my machine. And then I can run Report Builder. So that means from a patching perspective that if you patch your report server, it could include some patches to Report Builder. And then when users go and hit the report server again, it will check whether they've got the latest version of Report Builder, and if not, it will update them. So now I'm launching Report Builder. Just give this a moment. Any questions? So let's create a simple report just so we can test that this actually works. I'm just going to put some text in here. You know, we'll do a little hello world or something. But let's have a little bit of fun to make this a little bit more interesting. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to take the execution time. There's a built-in field for the execution time when the report was executed. And I'm going to put that in an if function, which will evaluate this conditional. The conditional is going to be if the execution time dot millisecond mod 2 equals 0, which means if the execution time millisecond, which is going to be random, something I can't predict, is even, then we'll do one thing. If it's odd, then we'll do another thing. So I want somebody to name out, just shout out where you're from. Texas. I heard Texas. So if it's even, we're going to display don't mess with Texas. Somebody else shout out where they're from.
Alberta.
Alberta, Canada. Nice. Fellow Canadian. So I'll put Canada rocks. Okay. So now we're going to run that, and we'll see which is better. I'm banking on Canada. Come on. Give this a second to render. Come on. Oh, it's taken a while. It's locked up on me. Can't decide. There we go. Oh. All right. I guess it's true. So we will publish that up to our SharePoint site now. And I'll just call this sample. Now I'm going to go over to SharePoint. I'm going to refresh this. And we'll see our report there. I'm going to take the chance to redeem myself and see if Canada can make a comeback. So we want to test if this actually works on the server. It's the first time I'm hitting the report server, so it's going to be a little bit slow the first time. Let's see if the results are consistent or whether it changes its mind. Just give this a moment. Oh, come on. Fine. Okay. This is fixed in a new version, by the way. Okay, so let's go back to my server here. I want to show you one more thing, which is I was talking about security and, you know, how I can manage these things just like any other SharePoint document. Here, you'll see all these options, these context menu options. I can manage subscriptions. I can manage security. I can manage the data sources that this connects to, change the default value of the parameters, change how the caching works for the report. It's all here. Now, if I didn't see these options, one thing to troubleshoot that you can check is to make sure that the site collection feature is enabled. So if I go to site settings here, there's an option for site collection features. What you want to check is that the report server integration feature is activated. Should have been activated as part of setup if I already had the site, but in case for whatever reason it wasn't and you're missing some UI entry points, make sure that's activated. Okay. In 2012, you'll also see a PowerView integration feature. You would want to make sure that that's activated as well. So at this point, I'm going to switch over to 2012.
Can I just ask a quick question?
Sure.
If you're installing on the front end web server, let's say we do have a load balanced environment, can you install reporting services on both servers, assuming that you're using a common URL?
Yeah.
Can you do an integration to it?
Yeah, so if you have multiple web servers, you've got a load balancer in front of them, can you install reporting services on both of them and then have it work through the load balancer? Yeah. So in fact, you have to. So if you have a load balance scenario like that, you have to make sure the reporting service is installed on all of those web front ends. And then the only thing you would want to do is in reporting services, you can configure something called a URL route. And that is used for whenever reporting services generates a URL. So an example of that would be when you get an email delivery, it puts a link in there so that you can open up the live report. Or for example, when you have a drill through link from one report to another, it generates the full URL. You want it to generate that based not on the internal server name, but on the load balancer endpoint. So you would want to configure that load balancer endpoint in reporting services. So look up URL route. So here we are in 2012. Like I said, we're back to the point where we've installed the reporting services bits, but that's it. I haven't done anything else. So the first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to go to Central Admin, I'm going to go under Application Management and click Manage Service Applications. And these are all the service applications that I have configured. Excel Services, Secure Store. What I don't have is reporting services. So what I need to do is create a new SQL Server Reporting Services service application. It's in this list of service applications that I create. Now again, because I installed reporting services after installing SharePoint, and the SharePoint Central Admin was already configured, Setup was able to go ahead and install and register this for me. If, however, I had installed them in a different order or there was some sort of problem, this might not show up. So what you have to do is run a couple of magic PowerShell commands. So here I'm on my SharePoint server. What you want to run is you want to run, I'll just type share, SharePoint 2013 Management Shell. That's the PowerShell console for SharePoint. And the two commands are install-sprs service. And the other one is install-sprs service proxy. There's no harm in me running these again. But there you go. You can see install the service and install the proxy for the service. Then, when we go back, we should see those show up in the list. I can refresh this, just make sure. Yep. New reporting services application. Create the reporting services application. And I'll give it a name, so I'll just call it reporting services application. We have to assign it to an application pool. This isn't an IIS application pool. It is a, or it's not a web server application pool. It is a service application application pool. So I'll call this reporting services app pool. You could use a, you can reuse an existing app pool. I'll just create a new one. And then choose the account that it runs under. I have a domain account where I run my SharePoint services in. Again, you could have multiple app pools that use different services. I'm just, for a demo environment, using one app pool and one account for all my services. The database server is on this same machine. Could be on a different machine. In this case, it's on the same machine. How am I going to authenticate to this? How's the report server going to authenticate to the database, the reporting services database? The recommendation is to use Windows authentication, and that's what I'm going to do. And then the web application association. So web apps are associated with service apps. And I want to surface these capabilities on my web app on port 80. So I'm going to check that box to link the two of them together and click OK. Now, this is a step that, depending on my luck, could take anywhere between 1 and 4 minutes. So now would be an excellent time for any questions. Yes, sir. No, it's not, it would. This would be different on SharePoint, or sorry, on SharePoint Server 2010. Yes, it would look the same. It would look, yeah. Sorry, I misunderstood your question with previous versions of SQL Server. But with the previous version of SharePoint, this process, you know, UI styling the same aside, looks very much the same. Yes, sir. Okay. Question was about what are my comments on public-facing SharePoint sites and public-facing SharePoint sites, including reporting services, in terms of performance and security. In terms of performance, it's really like anything else that you want to make sure that obviously your infrastructure on your backend side is has the capacity that you need, but also that the connection between the client machine and the client machine and the web front end is really sufficient for these purposes. So there's an AJAX, there's a lot of AJAX code that runs on the client side that interacts with the report server. There is a little bit of chattiness between, you know, these client-side controls and the report server. So if you have a high latency connection, you may not find, you may find that you have some work to do with the performance. And obviously, so latency can be a little bit of an issue in that case. On the security side, I mean, there's nothing preventing you from doing that with in a sort of extranet scenario with forms authentication. The challenges you asked about anonymous authentication in a true, you know, public-facing intranet sort of scenario, you probably want anonymous authentication. We don't currently support anonymous authentication. There are some parts of it that will work. There are some parts that won't work. It's sort of used at your own risk, and it's not supported. So I really hope that I can say in a future release or future update that it is supported, but currently it's not. So I've created my reporting services application. And now if I go to my SharePoint site, just to make sure everything's working here, what I'm going to do is I'm going to upload a PowerView report. Got a PowerView report that I created in another session that I did yesterday. And I will upload that. It's actually, an Excel 2013 workbook that's got some PowerView sheets in it. So for this to work, Excel services, analysis services, reporting services, and everything has to be all working properly. So this is a good test that I've got everything configured properly. So it's uploading, upload is complete. I will click on that, and it'll open up in Excel services in the browser. Just give it a sec here. It's the first time I'm hitting Excel services, and I'm hitting reporting services on this environment, so this will take a moment the first time. Any questions? Yes, in the back there. Could you run SSRS 2008R2 and 2012 in the same SharePoint farm? On different web applications. I believe you could. So you could have some web applications that are connected to a 2008R2 backend, and you could have some that are connected to the service application. I actually have to double check if that's supported. I'm thinking in my head that there would be nothing preventing that from working, but I would have to double check whether that is a supported scenario. It may not be an officially supported scenario. So I will double check. So here we go. We've got my report rendering in Excel services, and everything should be interactive and everything should be working properly. The highlighting and everything should be working. So that's going again against the same reporting services engine. I could upload a classic RS report to there as well, and it would also work. So that pretty much concludes the demo. Are there any questions before I go back and wrap it up about the demo, about what I showed? Yep. Sorry, I'm having a little bit of a hard time hearing you. Yeah. If you use trusted account, yeah, you will not need to configure Kerberos because the user's identity basically goes from the client machine to the report server, and it stops there. At that point, it's using a predefined stored account to communicate through the rest of the stack. The downside of that is you in some cases, want the user's identity to go all the way to the data source so that maybe different users see different data if you have, like, role-based security, role-level security, that sort of thing. Yes, sir, question? Yeah, could you mix them so you choose trusted account for some servers where you have Kerberos and Windows authentication, or vice versa, actually. Windows authentication for some servers where you have Kerberos and trusted account as a fallback in the other cases. I don't believe you can because it's only a single selection for the entire farm. Can you set up two service applications? Yes, absolutely you can. So you can have different service applications, and you can hook them up to different web applications. Yeah, okay, but service applications don't have this concept of trusted account or Windows authentication. Recall that that was something we did for the 2008 R2 environment, where it's not connecting to a service application. When you're talking about 2012, where you have the web front end and the service application, the authentication between the web servers and the app servers in SharePoint is always claims. It's neither of those. So it's always claims. Any other questions? Okay, I'm just going to go back and wrap it up. We'll have a little bit more time, I think, for any last questions. So the key takeaways that I want you to get from this session. Number one, the benefits of having reporting services integrated into SharePoint mode, you have one portal truly for everything, especially if you're going with 2012. You have the report viewing, you have the catalog, you have the security, and all the management, all in SharePoint or in SharePoint Central Admin. Finally, PowerView and data alerts. Like I said, two huge features, especially PowerView now that it's even showing up in Excel and Excel services. Your users are going to want that to work, and it's only going to work in SharePoint mode and not in native mode. So big reason to use SharePoint mode. And finally, all of the re-architecture and the differences in the architecture between previous releases and SQL Server 2012 that we talked about affect the way that you deploy and configure these services. So I hope it was helpful to see the difference in practice and what it means for how you deploy and how you configure it. So with that, I'm going to wrap it up. I'm going to say thank you very much for coming to the session. I hope you found it educational. And if you have any last questions that you've thought of, it looks like we have 14 minutes or so to answer those questions. So there are a couple mics here, I think, if you want to use those.
So I've been through the 2008 setup once, and I've done that.
Okay.
The first time I did it, I didn't check the database option. I just said, just install reporting services, right? I installed the add-in, and then I said, install reporting services, and it doesn't work because it has to have its own database, apparently, on the SharePoint server. I'm not talking about the SharePoint content databases.
Right. There was the reporting services catalog database.
So it still needs a database. And that database is going to be on your SharePoint app server. It's going
to
be...
So it does not necessarily have to be on a SharePoint server. It could be on another server. Remember, when I went through the configuration wizard, I pointed at some database server and say, create your catalog database there. So that doesn't necessarily need to be on the same machine.
As long as it has a database server somewhere. Yes. And I'm not talking about what it's reporting off of. It just simply has to have its own catalog.
Right, exactly. That's where it actually stores copies of the reports. It compiles the reports into an intermediate format, stores them in there. You know, information about subscriptions, all that stuff is stored in that database. Yep.
2012, same way.
2012, the same thing, except it's a service application database. Yep.
Right, okay. Yep. And that can be installed once that database, though, is that like part of, should that go with all the other SharePoint?
Yeah, you would typically put content. That, you know, where you would put the, for example, Power Pivot database, or where you would put the
search or
a secure store database,
okay.
For example. It doesn't necessarily have to, you can segregate those across different machines, but it's the same type of tier, the same type of machine.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Great session.
Thanks.
Yeah, hi.
Next.
Question on the service account for reporting services.
The service account for reporting services, yeah.
You use the SQL Server service account. You wouldn't normally use the SQL Server.
Right. So, for a demo environment, I use the same service account for SQL Relational, for AS, for RS. That's not a best practice. The best practice is that you create separate domain accounts for each of those services. Yeah, so I would probably have a dedicated, reporting services service account.
Yeah, but what permissions would that account need for the reporting services?
I'm sorry, could you speak up a little bit?
The reporting services service account. You create a separate domain account for that.
Yes, I would create a domain account specifically for that.
What permissions would it need in SQL or?
Oh, I'd have to look up the exact permissions, but mostly it needs read-write access to the report server database that it's going to be communicating with because it's reading from there and putting content in there. So it needs permissions to that. It will also need, in some cases, you might want it to have certain permissions on analysis services. So in certain modes, for example, the report server connects to analysis services as the service account, and then it might append effective username and some sort of security or impersonation property on the connection string. That requires that account to be an analysis services administrator. So in a non-Kerberos environment, you might have that requirement where it's an analysis services administrator, but the best practice would be to have Kerberos instead. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Next.
Hi. We have a prod SQL cluster with named instance where our SharePoint databases are.
Okay.
And when we did our install, initially we did the reporting services not on the front end, but on the actual cluster.
Okay.
And when we were setting this up, we talked to Microsoft, and they told us that with the named instance and the way we had it set up, that really the only way to get that to work was to do the trusted account as opposed to the Windows integration. And that may be just in lieu of us doing Kerberos. Is there any way in that setup that we could do Windows authentication?
It would be interesting to find out the details of the whole topology, but I mean, the restriction that I'm aware of is that it's not going to work without Kerberos working end-to-end. But if you did have Kerberos working end-to-end, then I would expect that to work.
Okay.
Because the issue, I mean, the trusted account thing is basically a workaround, a fallback for a scenario in which you can't delegate identity. So if you can delegate the identity, it should work.
Okay. And so the Kerberos is the limitation there, not the named instance on the...
Oh, it definitely shouldn't be the named instance, I believe. I mean, whether it's a default instance or a named instance should make
that
no difference.
That doesn't matter. It's the Kerberos that's our...
I believe so,
okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay. Next.
On the screen on the SharePoint 2010 in Central Admin where you add a report server, there's another option to add another reporting server to your I guess, to scale it out.
Yes.
So if you were putting the report server on multiple front ends, would you have to do the first one looks like maybe that adds that for you. Do you have to add that on each web front end, or what's that other option for?
So that's for to give you the ability, like you said, to add multiple report servers. If you have multiple web front ends, you don't necessarily need multiple report servers.
Okay. Right. So we've got a report server we're using just for SharePoint reporting.
Yeah.
And then our business analytics team wants to integrate their legacy reporting stuff into it. Would I be able to add that?
I believe so. I mean, the only requirement there that I'm aware of is that the all the web front ends that where the reporting services feature is going to be surfaced have to be able to reach that web service endpoint. Wherever that endpoint is, as long as it can hit it, and as long as you know you solve the authentication problems, I believe it should work.
Okay, so could you have two different authentication modes if you're adding a report server from a different...
Well, the two modes you have are the trusted account and the Windows integrated authentication.
And that's when you set up the service, right? Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks.
Yeah.
I was just going to ask if there's been any enhancements to the report builder itself.
Okay. A question about report builder?
Yeah. So has there been any enhancements for SQL 2012 in the actual report builder downloaded there?
In report builder, in SQL Server 2012, there aren't a lot of major feature additions. The focus on the release was more on PowerView and on data alerts and on the SharePoint integration. Some of the ones are just, there's a variety of obviously bug fixes, so there is some value in getting the new version of Report Builder because of the increased stability. There are a lot of bug fixes and service packs in there. The other functional difference is that in the SQL Server 2012 release, we upgraded the Word and Excel renderers so that they would export to the new Word and Excel formats, relatively new anyways, the 2007 formats as opposed to the 2003 formats. So if you upgrade Report Builder, you get that version of the renderers.
So in 2010, when you deploy reports using BIDs to a development, a production site, and you have custom content types you deploy to your development site, assign content types, values, test it, and you want to deploy it then to your production site, how do you move that report and maintain the content type values? Do you do that from BIDs? If you just copy the file, you lose the connection to the data source if it's in a different library. What's the scenario? How do you do that?
Right. So how do you move reports and data sources from test to production?
Right.
So there are a variety of techniques for doing that. You can do it by redeploying from Visual Studio. Some people want something more scriptable or programmable. There are tools like the reporting services, web services. There's a command line tool called RSEXE, RS Scripter. So there are various ways of doing that. There is some challenge to address either through the UI by manually remapping things or through script by manually remapping things, because the report, if it refers to a shared data source, typically refers to that shared data source by absolute URL. So if the absolute URL of that is different in the production environment, you have to remap the report to that shared data source. So that can be done through the UI, or it can be done programmatically, but it is something that might need to be done. If the report uses an embedded data source, you may not need to do that because know, the data source may be the same. Although if the data source itself also changed, you know, you would, again, need to programmatically change the data source for those reports.
And any of those tools address the content type?
So the content type issue, actually, I don't believe has any actual impact from an RS perspective. All the menu options and things like that, like you see in reporting services, are based on the file type extension and not based on the content type. So I think the only reason we really have the content types is to show them up in the new menu, the new document menu. But if you were to, if I were to just upload a report, for example, to the document library, it gets put in there as a generic document content type. So there's no functional impact from an RS perspective. Now, you may want to categorize correctly more from a SharePoint perspective, and then you can use SharePoint technologies to go and change that. You could write a script in theory that goes and says, any RDL report set the property to report builder report. But just know that from an RS perspective, it's really not necessary.
But if you have a custom content type with, and you've assigned the values in development and you want to move that to production.
Oh, if you have a custom content type.
Right, right.
Yes, then those tools will not be aware of SharePoint content types and they will not preserve that. That information is not stored in a report server catalog. It's only stored in SharePoint. So unless you do some sort of migration using SharePoint APIs, that information will be lost.
So there's no way you can bring that into your development environment, the assigning of values of the custom content type and make it travel with the report?
Not that I'm aware of, no. Yeah.
Okay, thanks.
Hello. Hi. Can you show me the website where you created the report in the 2010? Because I'm wondering, this website you create or just automatically create after you configuration the RS?
Sorry, which website are you referring to?
You created in the website. You after you collect configuration, right? Finish
yep.
The configuration, then you go to the website, put the create the web RS report, use the report builder. The website.
Oh, that was just where I launched Report Builder from.
No. So website is created by yourself or just automatically created this one, the website.
But are you referring to the actual SharePoint website?
Yeah.
Yeah, so that I had already created my site collection.
Oh, okay.
So that was not created. Reporting services will not create a site collection for you.
Okay. What kind of template do you select? Site collection?
In my case, I think I just used blank site, but you can use whatever site template you want. Reporting services is not really dependent on any particular site template. Or library template. It doesn't come with any site templates or library templates, unlike, for example, Power Pivot, which has some site templates and library templates that you can use. Uh-huh. You're not forced to use those, but you can use them. Reporting services doesn't even come with any. It's generic to any of those
okay.
templates.
Okay, even you select black site is okay. Okay.
Yeah, team site, you know, there's a BI center site that you can use, but it's whatever you want.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You mentioned that you could run reporting services 2012 and SharePoint 2010.
Yes.
Say again what doesn't work and what kind of issues will you have when you upgrade to SharePoint 2013?
So aside from the fact that SharePoint migration works a certain way and there's not really an in-place upgrade, you have to migrate that over. You'll have to do a typical SharePoint migration. I wouldn't expect a lot of issues when you migrate in terms of things breaking. The one thing that doesn't work when you run reporting services 2012 in SharePoint 2010 instead of 2013 is not even really a reporting services limitation completely. It's the fact that Excel 13 workbooks with data models or with Power View or those advanced features do not work in SharePoint 2010 Excel services.
Okay.
So standalone reporting services reports will work just fine. Standalone Power View reports outside of workbooks will work just fine. But Power View sheets inside of Excel 2013 workbooks will not work in SharePoint 2010.
Okay.
Yeah. Yes.
Yes, you showed an example of dropping an Excel workbook with some Power View sheets in it in the reporting services library, and then that comes up and runs.
Yeah.
How is that actually executing through the back end? Is it using Excel services? Is it going back to analysis services? How is that Power View screen actually analytics rendering?
So that's showed a slide for that. If you remember this one.
I came in late, so I may have missed it.
Oh, no problem. So, I mean, it's kind of complex to explain. I can explain a little bit more offline, maybe in detail. But essentially, on the server, you have Excel services, and you have reporting services, and you have analysis services. So you have to license both SharePoint and SQL Server, and certain editions of them, Enterprise for SharePoint, and BI Edition or higher for SQL Server. The core stuff, regular Excel, traditional Excel sheets with pivot tables and that sort of thing, That doesn't go through reporting services. That just goes through Excel and analysis services. Right. But Power View Sheets actually go through reporting services and then analysis services.
Okay, so they bypass. I mean, one of the concerns, and I'm new to my company, is about running Excel services and potential performance perceptions around that. But I was just looking for a nice way to build PowerView and deploy it, and this seems like a really nice way.
Right. So, you have PowerView in Excel on the client. You have standalone PowerView reports on the server that don't require Excel services. They just use RS. They basically use the bottom half of that code path.
Right.
But if you want to use PowerView inside of Excel services, then you need the full stack. You need both Excel services and reporting services.
Okay. But the example you showed running when you dropped that workbook in was this lower. It was running through this lower path.
Yeah. So when I'm opening the workbook, and if I were interacting with one of the native sheets, it would be going through the top code path. And if it were when I was on the PowerView sheets, it's kind of looping around and going through the bottom code path.
Great. Thank you.
So they're turning up the lights on me. So I think I got to wrap it up here.